Acts chapter 2. Let me, I forgot one thing. I'm sitting here looking at my note, wondering why I wrote down Bob. But anyway, we were glad to have Bob Thomas here with us yesterday. He's running for mayor. We invited everybody I knew was running for anything. We invited dog catcher, county clerk. If I knew they were running for something, they got invited. Look right here. Some of them were going where they were raising money. They didn't come here. Nod your head if you understand that. Some of them were at the Alabama game. They wished they were here. I'm kidding. And so somewhere at the Alabama game. We invited everybody. He could work it out. He came. That was not an endorsement. He came. He's a nice man. I've enjoyed getting to know him about a year and a half. He was the only one who could make it. But everybody got invited. It was nothing political. He just stopped in, and he took a lot of pictures and put them on his social media feed. So, anyway, nice fella. Don't misconstrue that. So he said several pastors and all had endorsed him. I said, well, I'm not endorsing you. I haven't paid any attention to the mayor race. I'm so nervous every time I cut on the TV. I've tried to avoid politics the last few months. Nod your head if you're with me there. So, unfortunately, you know, for all I know, any of them's trying to move Knoxville to the moon. I just hadn't paid any attention. I will before I vote, but I haven't paid any attention yet. I know who was running. That's all. So thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for that. Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Acts chapter 2, verse number 36. We've been talking about revive and we've been talking about revive. We talked about the revive in the, revive our worship. And then we have talked about, we talked about today we're going to be reviving our service, and particularly the idea of a church family and why do we need one. If you're willing and able, stand with us this morning as we read God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. The Bible says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Christ whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus never claims, the Bible never claims Jesus is God. I don't know how you get around Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and other passages here. This is it, and the Jews missed it. The Jews missed it. Can Jews be saved? Well, sure, a lot of them have been saved, will be saved, but they missed it the first time, and they've got till the next time he comes, at least, to get it right. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked, convicted in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is always the question. Here's the truth, what shall we do with it? Everybody always answers this question. You either accept Christ or reject Christ. You either come to him or you don't, or you run from him. You rebel against him. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, change your mind about your sin, change your mind about Christ, ask God to change your life, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the putting away remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To have the gift of God in the person of the Spirit to change your life is an evidence of salvation, is an evidence of repentance. Verse 39, for this promise is to you and your children, all that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. Who is he calling? He says that, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that all should be saved. Will all be saved? No. Is God's will for all to be saved? Absolutely, yes. Verse 40. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41 is interesting. Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added to them about 3,000 people. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. One of the reasons we have fellowship here is because we're going to break bread together. Nod your head if you understand that. That's corporately. I think we ought to be doing that individually. I think fellowship with believers is important. It is crucial. Otherwise, we stay strangers. Nod your head if you understand that. We just show up on Sunday and nobody knows anybody, and we smile and grunt and talk about the weather, and then we walk out of here strangers. That is not God's plan for us as believers. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See, why did they do this? They confirmed the message of God. Verse 44, and they that believed were together had all things common. There was a spirit of sharing that was prevalent and not of selfishness. Verse 45, sold their possessions and goods, parted them all men, as every man had need, and they, continuing daily, one accord in the temple, breaking bread house to house, did eat their food or their meat with gladness and singleness in heart. There is great joy in doing God's work God's way. praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to revive our thoughts again about the idea of a church and church family. Pray with me right now. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to love you. Help me as I preach. I pray, Father, that you would direct me. Help me to say the things I need to. I pray that you would just use me. Holy Spirit of God, fill me, I pray. I pray that I would speak with authority the Word of God, and that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I love you, and I need you this morning. I pray all this in Christ's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Gerald Fender, some of you don't know him. You hadn't had the privilege. Gerald Fender is the founding pastor of this church, and I get to see him every so often. I made a decision years ago before I came, but if I ever have a chance, especially with the older pastor where I'm serving, we want to do that. And so Gerald's money is never any good when we're around. I don't say that. There's nothing bragging about it. I think that's the least we owe him. Nod your head if you understand it. It's the least we owe him. We can get him a cup of coffee or a biscuit or something and a burger. And his money's no good. I'm not around Brother Oaks very much. His money would be no good either. He was our second pastor. And I just think that's the way he ought to be. And so we're there. But Brother Fender loved bad jokes. Not ugly jokes, although he may. I'm teasing. No. And he loves just cornball. Oh, and anyway, humor. Anyway, and he says, "I got a joke for you, Rodney." Good brother. Eat your biscuit. What's the joke? He said. This lady calls the newspaper, and is so upset. Where is my Sunday paper? I pay for this paper. The paper is not out there. Where is my Sunday paper? You people are so sorry. How hard is it to get a paper to my driveway? Can you help me? But and says, what are you going to do about it? I need somebody to come out here. And finally, the woman takes a breath, and the guy on the line says, we will get you your Sunday paper, but we only print it for Sunday, and today's Saturday. And the lady on the phone goes, oh, well, that explains why there was nobody at church today. And so I gave him another biscuit. And I want to help you understand why everybody's at church today. I want to help you understand why everybody's at church today. Why is it a big deal? Why should we do this? I think Acts lays it out for us just as good as anywhere in the scriptures, and it helps us. It gives us five ideas here. Some of you like to take notes. Let me give you a few of these. There's some things that are laid out. There's some things that should be the basics of every church and every church life and every person who claims that this is where they go. Number one, they believed his word. That's verse 41. They were saved. You don't get much further than that. You can attend all the time, really and truly, and we want you here. But if you're not a Christ follower yet, that's your first step. Your first step is saying, I believe what the Bible says about him, I believe what the Bible says about me, and I believe what the Bible says about the way for me to be in relationship with him. And so that first step is that they believed his word. They were saved. Secondly, they followed in baptism. They followed in baptism. They demonstrated their faith visibly. They demonstrated their faith visibly. I'm just not a fan. People like, I'm going to trust Christ and I'm going to do all this other stuff and then I'll work my way around this. No. You need to follow Christ. You need to follow Christ, and then you need to visibly express that faith in the act of baptism. Does baptism save me? No. Baptism tells everyone that you have been born again of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, by the Son of God. This is what it is. So they did these two things. So they believed his word. They were baptized. You say, those are really basic things, Pastor. And they really are. Look right here. But you be shocked. You be stunned. Stunned how many people never get past the second step. Never get past it. They don't go any further. And again, it's not an act of, the very real sense, that is your first act of obedience. First act of obedience is being baptized. They were believed his word, they were baptized. Then they became part of a church family. Your scriptures, look there, verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. All of that together is they are with other believers. They're part of a church family. They've got some place they worship. Nashville. Nashville probably is too. Knoxville is just full of spiritual surfers. You with me here? Not that they got surfboards and going, hang loose. They're spiritual surfers. I like this over here. It's just nuts. There are people I've talked to in 3 years, and they go to Bible study at this church, Sunday school, and then they come over here because they like the music. And then if this teaching pastor is over there, they'll go there. And they just hang out everywhere. They don't belong anywhere. They're just spiritual surfers. They're really just consumer Christians. And I don't mean that ugly. I really, God knows my heart. But that's all they're doing. They buy their paper towels at Costco, and they like the pizza they get over here at Sam's, and they think the meat's better over here at Kroger. And they just kind of pick and choose, and they're not accountable anywhere, and they don't really have anybody who looks after them. They just kind of rolled their own. They've kind of eclectic about this kind of thing. Well, that's just not New Testament Christianity. Just not New Testament. We had several people. Hey, I want to come check out your church. I said, well, where are you doing tomorrow? So we're going over here. I said, well, you're always welcome here, but we don't want you to leave your church. And they look at me like I've grown a horn out of my head. We don't want you to leave your church. You belong there. If you leave your church, you're welcome here. But if you're there, you're there. Nod your head if you think that's ethical, by the way. Ethical. We have somebody come and they say, hey, I want a pastor visit or whatever. We go by and see him, and that's so-and-so over there. And I said, well, fine. Well, God bless you, and we want you to keep going there, and we won't bother you anymore. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, no, you belong there. I wouldn't bust up a marriage, and I wouldn't bust up a church family. Somebody say amen to that. That is integrity. That is integrity. That is not practice, by the way, a lot of places. That's not practice. And that is so sad. They joined the church family. The flip side of that is that they belong somewhere. You need to belong somewhere. And I'm going to keep that. Number four, they committed themselves to regular worship. Look at verse 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were committed to regular worship. The way that they lived and the fact that they were close quarters with each other, they were able to do this. They used the word daily. They saw each other very regularly. We're really excited to do it once a week, but they were together. They continued. They committed themselves to regular worship. Let me help you here. One of the things we need to revive is this idea that it's important to regularly worship. Somebody say amen. It's important to regularly worship. I find it hard to believe that you're more committed to softball. I find it harder to believe that people are more committed to a high league team around here or to a rugby team and more committed to the other. Again, it breaks my heart and makes me mad. I will pass thousands of people, not hundreds. I will pass thousands of people from, where do we live, West Emory, somewhere out that way, West Emory to here. And I'll pass thousands of people who, if I asked them, they would say, well, I can't go to church or whatever and all this kind of thing. Again, that's not their problem. Their problem is the relationship with Christ. Nod your head if you believe that. But they committed themselves to regular worship. I love the old expression, if the doors are open, you ought to be here. That is gone in 2017. That's gone. But that's not a bad idea. I am committed. I believe what's going on there is important to God and important to me. They committed themselves, and then they developed new friendships, new relationships. This is the neat thing about the family of God. They committed themselves, and they developed new friendships, new relationships. Again, I joke about all the introverts and all here, but there's something, man, all of us need others. Nod your head if you believe it. I need you. 1 Corinthians 17. I need you, you need me. Or 15. For I need you, you need me, and we need each other. That's what Paul says. I need you. You need me. We need each other. I need Samantha. Barry. Samantha Barry needs Brenda Kinder. Needs Joseph Kington. Joe, did you know that? And we need each other. Lucas needs John Weiniger. John Weiniger needs Chad. We need each other. We got a lot of teenagers need some adults to live for God and be a good example. Somebody say amen to that. We need that. We develop new friendships, new relationships in the church. One of the funniest things, you know, 2 or 3 months goes by and you say, well, I love you. You didn't know they existed on the face of the planet Earth till a few months ago. But they came in here, and because Christ is the center of your life and of their life, and you all of a sudden, man, there is a wonderful friendship that's brewing there. They developed. They need these. So what does this mean? I made the joke. I stole Brother Fender's joke. So that's why there wasn't anybody in church. See, in our area, 82%, latest scientific survey, Lifeway was commissioned by First Baptist of Concord. They paid for the scientific study. I have it. It's about 13, 14 pages. If anybody wants it, I'll give it to you. This was in 2013. Any given Sunday, 82% of the people don't go to any house of worship on any given Sunday. You think of the hundreds of steeples, the dozens of steeples you drove past to get to this building. I don't think we're hurting in East Tennessee and in West Knoxville for people understanding the five things I just threw at you. I'm dumbfounded by the number of people who say, I am completely right with God, but I have neglected all four, if not all five, of those things. You can say whatever you want, but you're not getting that out of the Bible. You say, I'm right with God, but I don't follow the Bible, then we have an extra biblical kind of revelation or a religion here. And I assume that's what it is. There are people who've been hurt. There are people who've been wounded. There are people who have these kind of things. See, why do some people go? I think some people go for a couple reasons. Some people go out of tradition. Some people go out of guilt. Some people go out of habit. And some people don't go out of tradition. Anybody ever been sick a couple weeks in a row and the first week it feels so weird because you're not in church, but the second week doesn't feel so weird, and by the third week it feels pretty normal? Some people go out of guilt. I don't know guilt works too well in 2017. I don't know you guilt people in doing things. We got so much noise coming at us, we don't feel anything too strongly. It's got to be a major deal. It's unnerving to me that a madman got in the 30th floor of the MGM and shot at hundreds of people, wounded 500 and some, and sent into eternity about 59 or 60 people and all that, and it is not a news story anymore. It hurts my collective heart that the only thing that makes news is a supposed Russia connection that may or may not have happened, and the fact that they're going to regulate internet ads because all of you on Facebook apparently voted for somebody because you don't understand what's real news or not. And that's what takes up half of a broadcast instead of real evil from a real guy who killed real people. How many of you think our priorities are messed up and we don't feel anything anymore? Some go out of tradition, some out of guilt, some out of habit. Again, I don't know all these all work all the time. Why should we go? Here's where we go. Let me give you these and I'm going to be done. Why do we need a church family? Why we need a church family? Everybody still with me? Say amen. Some of you are asleep and all, and some of you are sort of asleep, so let me help you out. Number one, we need a church family to help you center your life around God through worship. What do you call it now? Does anybody here go to a beauty parlor anymore? I mean, it's called a parlor. Joe raises his hand. Why do you keep raising your hand, Joe? You cut your own hair. Anybody go to a beauty parlor? You call it a salon? You go to a salon? Salon? Boutique? I know there's boutiques around here. Boutiques. Every time I talk about getting your hair cut and all, Dallas just rolls back there. I'm sorry, Dallas. And yeah. What else is it called? Stylist? Nobody? Does anybody in here get their hair cut at all? Okay. Hairdresser, all right. And my mom went to a beauty parlor for years. My brother and I hated it. Hey, nod your head if you, man, that stuff smells bad in those places. That dye and that perm solution or whatever, and everybody's in there, and as a child, it looks like torture. You know, they put that soup, you know, that pasta strainer on their head. They start pulling hair through it. I mean, it looks awful. It looks awful. And whatever, some of you are going, that's what I had last week. You know, they got all that stuff, and they're all gossiping, and it's awful. And the only saving grace was they had a glass bottle Pepsi machine. You put in your 35 cents, and you open the door, and you grabbed whatever you wanted. And Mom would take us, for whatever reason, she's where we burned the house down. I don't know why she took us. And we'd go, and we'd sit in there if it was bad outside. But if it was nice outside, she'd let us run around. That was the saving grace. And man, and a lady's name was Donna, who cut her hair, Miss Donna. She was such a sweet lady, but she had an unsaved husband, unsaved in our doesn't mean anything anymore. It means he wasn't a Christ follower. He was a wicked man. She was a godly lady. She got up. She never missed. She was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She helped out. She loved people. She kept her Bible there. Danny cared nothing for the things of the Lord. I mean, hostile toward her, scary kind of man. Hunting, it may have changed very recently, but hunting for most of the time was illegal on Sundays. In North Carolina, Danny would go out even on Sunday and use a bow and arrow, just figure he'd get around and wouldn't get caught by the warden. Danny got up, slipped out early one Sunday morning. He's there in his tree stand. His wife has gotten ready to go to work. He's under such conviction. He leaves his tree stand, goes to the house, showers, comes, two separate cars, comes and slips in the church. Doesn't even sit with his wife. She has no idea that he's there. Service is over. Service is begun. The invitation, time of response is given. He comes forward weeping, asks Christ to save him from his sins. She is dumbfounded. She had no idea he was there. She comes, gets around him. God changes everything in his life. Let me help you. The first thing that changed in his life is the priority of worship. And he said, I have to what? I want to go to church. I want to be with God. You couldn't drag him in there. You couldn't feed him enough stuff. You couldn't give him enough goodies to get him in there. But when he did that, we need a church family. All of us do, because we can center our lives around God in worship. We can center our lives around God in worship. You got your Bibles open there just for a second. Matthew 22, if you want to flip over there. Matthew 22, verse 37. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The best thing you can do with your life is to know God and to love Him. He created you to love Him. He created you to worship Him. He created you to have a relationship with Him. See, there's so many counterfeits out there. Let me speak very nicely. Worship not all about gospel singings and concerts. I'm struck by how many people go to a concert or a gospel sing, won't come and hear God's word preached. That's not meant to be, but that's become a counterfeit in people's lives. I'm amazed how many people think a podcast substitutes for worship. I'm amazed how many people think, oh, YouTube is worse. No, we need to be here. We need to be with God's people, God's house, hearing God's words preached. Danny said, you know, somebody get on me. I heard him say it with my own ears and his own mouth. I used to hear people say, you know, you can't do that. And I'd tell them, well, I'm going in the woods. I'm going to worship God there. Let me help you. I'm going to have church in the woods. And he was lost. Let me help you. You can experience the beauty and grandeur of God. And I believe you can worship anywhere the Spirit is present and you've got biblical truth. I'll grant you that. You cannot have the biblical worship we're talking about here without us. We don't need a building, but we need us. We worship together, and we have the Word of God, and part of the gifting of God is oftentimes a pastor and other leaders in the church to help guide us and direct us there. And so we have this. When we come and we're not tuned in, when we come and we're substituting other things, those are counterfeit. And the Bible here says that we get to do this. We get to do this. Number one, you need a church family. Worship simply is building your life around God. Well, that's a big quote. I'll try and put that online for you. Centering your life around God. God didn't put you on earth to live a self-centered life. 2017, I think that's what we've got. Me, 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 my, 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 what's in it for me? I'll do this if. He didn't put you here for your benefit. We are created to enjoy Him and to love Him forever. God, we are created to do these things. To do these things. Jesus said in Matthew 22, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. The most important thing you can do is love Him. Number one, you need a church family to help center your life around worship. Number two, the second purpose is you need a church family to help you connect with other believers. Help you connect with other believers. One of the reasons we have a Sunday school, one of the reasons we have our Bible study, one of the reasons we have our night classes and our Wednesday night class, we do this because we need to connect. One of the reasons we have people over to the house, and we encourage you to have coffee and some things together. One of the reasons I love it when somebody would call me and say, let's grab lunch or let's grab a burger or something like that, is because we absolutely, positively need that. You need a church family to do that. If you're just a lone tree in the woods, man, it's just lonely. But if there's a whole bunch of you around, all of a sudden you feel some strength and some protection, and you feel these things, and you need that. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Again, talked to a guy yesterday. He says, I go over here, and I just kind of blend in, and they don't know if I'm there or not. And I wanted just to grab him by the shoulder and say, you don't need to go to a place like that, that you feel that way. You need to go somewhere where you can connect with people. We are both from large churches. I have nothing against them. Faith Run, 800 or 900 folks. Pastor Powell that was here preaching all. You still get to know 60 or 70 people. The church statisticians tell us you know about 67 people, no matter what church size, the average person, that's all they'll ever know. Some of you have more capacity, less capacity. We know those kind of people. But you won't know anybody if you're just floating through and you're just wallpaper. Man, I need that. You need that. You open your doors. You open your heart. You try and get to know each other. One of the reasons we stress so hard about the 10 o'clock Bible study. Yeah, you can get in there. You kind of know some people. You can get to know those. You can get to love them. Get to enjoy them. Number three, you need a church family to help you get mature. Help you mature. I'm an October baseball fan. I love it. I hate the Cubs didn't do any better, but I'm excited for the Astros, and I'm glad all. I like it. See those nine guys on the field, and you see the bullpen, or excuse me, the pitching bullpen. You see the dugout full of people. You see the coaches, batting coaches, everybody. You see the folks upstairs. Then there's a farm team below. It takes a whole lot of people to put nine folks on outside. Tell me you hadn't grown any like you should, because you haven't taken advantage of the team that's around you. You need to be bigger and stronger. You need to be further along. And you get that opportunity. And I love it. I love it. I love our men's Bible study, our ladies' Bible study on Sunday night. We've been looking at the life of Peter on Wednesday night. I love that. We need that. And we want to do more of that. We keep talking about having some home studies, and we need that. We want to do that. Why? Because we need to mature. We need to mature. We need to grow in Him. We need to grow in Him. I want to say so much. I'm out of time. Number four, we need a family to prepare you to contribute. You need a church family to help you contribute something through ministry. I believe you're going to give an account to God for your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. You can give an account for your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. I don't think it's one of the four. I think it's all four. It's all four. I think how you live, how you act. I think what you do with what God gives you. I think your time. Let me help you. Some of you right now, your time's worth more than your money. And I understand that. And I appreciate that. I told the story. There's a guy in our church, owned multiple businesses, et cetera, et cetera. He came. He worked every Bible school we ever had. His wife looked at me and said, do you know how much this cost him to be here? I said, I have no idea. He heard her and said, don't ever talk like that. There is nothing I would rather do than serve Christ. church family help channel, move us together. God's called us to evangelize. God's called us to equip. God's called us to do these things together. We get to do that. We get to do that. I believe in volunteer and those kind of things. I laughed the other day. We got a couple of notes. I chuckled the other day. We got a couple of notes from Carm. And thankful we were there and want to make a connection with Pastor Mike and all this kind of stuff. Everything we've been praying for. And I'm just so excited about that and that opportunity here. And here's a church in West Knoxville who has gone and made, you know, you think all these churches around here, they'd have all these people, and they don't. They don't, and we're there, and they're just, man, just this really nice glow gun, and I just chuckled. Man, we get to make a difference, and we fed, I don't know, 300 or 400 people the other day, and got to talk to them. We're finally, looks like we're going to be able to get a service and be able to go in there and share and preach with them, and it's just so exciting. We get to do that. We get to do that. Jesus said, if you've done it in the least of these, We get to have those things. We run into people all the time who got a piece of candy from us at Easter and an invitation. And they say, hey, you're the church that gave out the Easter, the little Easter bunny. Yeah, we're the church that did that, man. You get to do that. We get to help missionaries. You have helped 80-some people be saved there in, excuse me, at our church plant in Suffolk, Virginia. You have helped just dozens and hundreds of people come to Christ in Kenya. You've helped two churches get established there in Provo, Utah, in the Mormon stronghold. You helped do that. I see a church family helps to focus us, and you can contribute back something through ministry. I laughed yesterday. Brother Wells came up and said, hey, I got a bullhorn if you need it. I don't need a bullhorn. About 30 minutes in, I was like, man, I really wish I had that bullhorn. We had a bullhorn, and we were like, hey, we're giving away prizes, we're doing all this kind of stuff, man, you know, and you feel important when you have a bullhorn. Nod your head if you understand that. You feel important, man. A bullhorn. Let me do you one better. I messed up. How many of you believe that's hard? It's just hard to believe. I blew it the other day. Samantha was having surgery, and I thought she was having a surgery next week, and, you know, she said she was having surgery that week, and I started arguing with her. No, you're having, you know, you got it wrong. I mean, if you think that's just not wise to tell somebody they're wrong about their own surgery. And anyway, I just want to cancel my trip. No, don't do that. Then I thought, man, well, somebody needs to be over there with them. Called real quick. I don't know whether to embarrass the guys or not. I'm gonna leave it be. Called three guys that live close. You go over there. Can you go over there and sit with Lester? Pray with Samantha. I ain't gonna be there. Love to. Be glad to. Three guys went over there, sat with Lester, prayed with Lester. One had to leave early. The other two just sat there the whole time. Let me help you. It wasn't any good that I forgot the thing mixed up. Let me help you a little further. If everything that's ministry-related comes across these hands, we ain't much of a church. And a church is to help get you plugged in so that we can be focused on ministry. And you can't do that without a church family. And you get to come. And somebody who's not on payroll got to do a whole lot of ministry and to bless some families. And I could tell that story over and over and over in this room. You need a church family to help you do that. Last, I'm done. Number five, you need one. You need a church family to help you do what? Communicate God's love and evangelism. It'd been real hard for Roy to put on yesterday by himself. It'd been difficult, as talented as some of our ladies are. It'd have been difficult for them to put it all on by themselves yesterday. But you know what? All of us who were able to work and help and do, we all got to do something yesterday. And all of us together, we got to minister to 300 or 400 people yesterday. best guess, somewhere between 350 and 450, 100 people. And we got to touch more than that online. We got to touch more than that through some of the other things. And then the people that left, and we got people supposed to be here. And hysterically, people got the circus tickets and said, well, I can't be here. I'm going to the circus tomorrow, but I'll come to your church next week. And I thought, what a dumb thing I did. No, that's their own fault. They could go to the circus this afternoon. That's their own fault. But I did laugh about that. They're like, hey, you gave me these tickets, so I can't come to your church. I was like, it's like saying we gave them a snow cone, they can't stay on their diet. Silly people and all. But those were a hit, by the way. And all of it was. We're here. Well, we get to do that. Some of you feel a little better about talking to people when there's a whole bunch of us around, don't you? You feel a little better about inviting people to God's house. You feel a little better about inviting people to come here. We can do that. We can focus this way. Wednesday night program, our Sunday morning, our Sunday night program, our opportunities. We'll give away some Christmas tree. We do that. We get focused this way. I can't go to Kenya, I don't think, but we've helped them get to Kenya. I can't pastor here in Provo. We help people there in Provo. The spear is over in Japan. We get to do these things, and it helps us focus this way. And we need a revival of this. Why? Because it's me Christianity, and it's me religion, and it's me worship, and it's me, and it's me, and it's me, and it's me, and that is not Bible. It's not Bible. You need a church family. You need a church family. They did five things. You're back in Acts. Let me say them to you and I'm done. They believed His word. They were baptized. They demonstrated their faith to the world. They joined the church family. They committed themselves to regular worship. And they developed new friendships and relationships in the church. They did these things and they paved the way for those other things that I mentioned to you. I want to help you. Where are you at? Where are you at with that? You need to trust Christ, repent of your sins. Is your next step to be baptized? Where's your next step? Is your next step to be a faithful member here, join the family, to be committed to worship? Say it doesn't really matter. How many of you know I'm married to Andre? Anybody here know I'm married to Andre? Some of you finally raised your hand. I've been here 2 years. I finally raised my hand for something. How many of you think it makes a difference to my wife if I go kiss another woman? It's not my daughter. Anybody think it makes a difference to my wife? Some of you are going, I'd like to watch that. She'd kill you. How many of you think her feelings would be hurt? Anybody? How many think she'd be mad? How many of you think I'd be a dead man? How many of you think I'd have to sleep on your couch? All right. Anybody? Here's what we say. I'm done. Look right here. Here's what we say. It doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Here's what you're saying. It doesn't matter if I go kiss other women or other men. I say I love Jesus a whole lot. But I'm over here, and I'm over here, and I'm over here. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. We left here, we finished up a few things, left here, grabbed a sandwich. I went to go get some reflective paint for the curbing out there. Hope the county won't get on this, because it's just dark as pitch and it's hard to get out of here at night. I didn't tell Andre I was going over to Lowe's. Didn't even think about it. Andre's home. We left at the same time. Innocent text. Where are you? I went at Lowe's. Why are you at Lowe's? I'm getting some paint. Getting some graffiti paint. You know, paint. Reflective paint. You didn't tell me. I'm sorry. I was getting worried. You should be home. She didn't say all that. She meant all that. I wasn't where I was supposed to be with who I was supposed to be with. And she was wondering where I was. Let me help you. God's never wondered where you were. But a whole lot of times I hadn't been where I was supposed to be with who I was supposed to be with. God's created this great thing called a church. Five examples there in Acts 2. And the five great practical truths and benefits it gives us. think we need a revival. Revival, what it means to be a church family. What it means to be a church family. Pray with me right now.